It's time to recap this weekend's NFL action on SB Nation Radio.
Just in case you've forgotten, let me tell you just in a who the hell I am. I am
Patrick Creighton.
And right now we're joined on the hotline from SB Nation's Behind the Steel Curtain by Jeff Hartman. Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you this evening?
Doing all right, brother. So let's talk. How many hours do the Steelers spend on choreographing touchdown celebrations?
I don't know that for a fact. I'm sure there's a lot of discussion that comes, you know, during their downtime in the locker room. I guarantee they talk about it and try to figure out what exactly they want to do if they score. I think they've been pretty creative myself, but, you know, teach their own.
Are all these things done during the closed portion of practice?
I would assume so, because I've never seen any yet.
All right. So, Le'Veon Bell, look, there was concern about, you know, anytime you have a guy who's a skill position guy, especially one who relies on his legs as much as Bell does, misses all that time in the offseason, misses all that time in the preseason, that, well, you know, well, what happens if he pulls a groin or pulls a hammy or this or that? Le'Veon Bell hasn't missed a step, and he's throwing out stiff arms from hell. Is this what you were legitimately expected, or is it just Le'Veon Bell is not human?
I think that as Steeler fans and as someone that covers the Steelers, that this is what we expected. Le'Veon Bell is as dynamic as anybody. And I think that if there's a difference this year in his 2014 and 2015 and even 2016 last year, his season, is he had more power this year. He still, in the last 2 weeks, has shown the vision, the one-cut ability, the patience that is kind of like his calling card. But he has some power to him now. You know, you see him pushing defenders backwards, getting those extra yards, those tough yards. It's really impressive to see how he continues to diversify his game, to constantly get better. Kudos to him. Kudos to the coaching staff. And people want to complain about Bell getting carries and maybe running the wheels off him, but ultimately, he's your best offensive weapon. You want to get the ball in his hands as much as possible, in my opinion.
All right, so our buddy Chris Boswell, who, you know, went to school not too far from here, went to Rice. Is all forgiven for that messed up trick onside kick, because he's turned into one of the best kickers in the game?
Oh yeah, he's been super reliable. I mean, people forget Heinz Field's not an easy place to kick. He's been great there. He hasn't been tested too much this year. I believe there was an earlier game this season. I apologize, I can't think of it off the top of my head, where he had a 50-yarder, maybe 51-yarder. He missed it. There was a penalty on the play, though. It got moved up. There was a penalty on the defense for offsides, and then he made the 45-yarder, 46-yarder. So, ultimately, he's been – boy, he just fell into their laps, too. I mean, if you think about it, that was the year when Sean Sweetham got hurt in the preseason, and it seemed like they've every kicker they brought in, Garrett Hartley and then Josh Scobie, all those experiments went sour quick. And they had a tryout, and he won the tryout, and he's been rock solid for him ever since. He basically won them two playoff games. He won them the playoff game in 2015 against the Bengals in Cincinnati. He won them the divisional round game last year in Kansas City when he made all those kicks against the Chiefs. He's tremendous. I don't think there's any Steeler fan in their right mind that would say they don't like Chris Boswell.
Yeah, well, you know, the Texans had to keep Randy Bullock over him because they blew a draft pick on Bullock, so... You know, we get to watch that play out quite horribly. T.J. Watt certainly looks like another famous Watt. That dude's motor doesn't stop. He had a sack, a tackle for a loss, three more quarterback hits, six tackles. Is he the defensive rookie of the year?
I'm not sure if I'm going to say he's the defensive rookie of the year. His statistics are not as, you know, eye-opening as, heck, even someone like Carl Lawson that played across on the opposite side of the field today in Cincinnati, who has more sacks. But T.J. Watt, if you look at his whole body of work, I say he deserves votes if he isn't a front runner right now. He is just, you said it, his motor doesn't stop, and I think that's a Watt characteristic. But he is tremendous against the run as well as a pass rusher. And when he was coming out of college, I think a lot of people, myself included, thought that he was raw, that he was going to struggle in pass rushing technique around especially offensive tackles in the NFL. But he's done a tremendous job, and he's really adapted well to the NFL game. Every single coach, every single player that you talk to or listen to, they all say the same thing. He's the most polished rookie they've ever seen. So he's done a tremendous job. People want to know about James Harrison, but when T.J. Watt's playing like this, you don't have too many questions about James Harrison because Watt's proving that he's more than capable to play that right outside linebacker position. It seems like after, you know, failed experiments with Jarvis Jones, they finally got that outside linebacker they were looking for in T.J. Watt.
Jeff Hartman covers the Steelers for SB Nation's Behind the Steel Curtain. Jeff, did Robert Golden earn himself any opportunity as the third-string quarterback going forward?
I'm going to say no. He looked pretty awkward throwing that pass. The delivery was not good. Ben Roethlisberger said after the game it looked like he was maybe trying to cast a reel into the water, but it worked, and it turned out to be probably the best pass of the day. As right on the money to Darius Hayward Bay. I haven't heard yet whether that was a Mike Tomlin call, whether he trusted Robert Golden to make the call himself, or, you know, how that played out. But if Robert Golden, A, was given the freedom to make that call on his own, that's a lot of trust you have in your players in a very key situation. Or if you make that call as a coach, you know, you've got a lot of balls making that call when they did. But it worked out. And when you have questionable decisions like that and they work out, you look like a genius. If it weren't to have worked out, oh my goodness, it would have been an uproar. But nonetheless, it did work. Kudos to Robert Golden. He really has stepped up his game. He's always been a good special teams guy. He's been a captain in the past. Good call, good execution, and that was the dagger for the Steelers against the Bengals.
All right, more surprising that a special teamer put a pass on the money or that Darius Hayward Bay actually caught said pass?
I'm going to go with the special teamer put the pass on the money because, you know, in Pittsburgh, since Darius Hayward Bay has been in Pittsburgh, he's kind of shaken off that horrible hands monitor. Now, he doesn't have as many opportunities that he did in Oakland and in Indianapolis, but at the same time, he has really improved his consistency catching the football. And, you know, with Martavis Bryant back this year and Juju Smith-Schuster being a rookie and, you know, Antonio Brown, we all know what he brings to the table. Darius Hayward Bay doesn't get a lot of chances, but you know what? He's been taking advantage of him, a big catch for him. I think everyone in that locker room is happy. He's a veteran guy, good leader in the room. So with that said, yeah, I'll say it was more surprising that Robert Golden put it on the money.
All right, speaking of Martavis Bryant, is there a concerted effort not to get him involved in the offense? Is it a matter of Ben doesn't like him anymore, so he won't throw him the ball? How is a guy with that much talent just – he's basically he's non-existent in the stat sheet?
No, I don't think that they're making a concerted effort to not get him the ball. But at the same time – I think that Ben Roethlisberger, and he's always been like this if you followed him his entire career, he throws to the players he trusts. When a play is designed to go a certain way or if they're looking for the correct coverage read, he wants to trust that that receiver is going to be where they're supposed to be when they're supposed to be there. And that's why he forces the issue to Antonio Brown at times, because he knows that Brown's going to be where he's supposed to be. I don't think he necessarily believes that with Martavis Bryant. Martavis Bryant's had a couple communication issues with Roethlisberger this year. They certainly aren't on the same page all the time. And because of that, I think that, yeah, there's a little bit of trust issues there. Now, I don't think Todd Haley is saying in a team meeting, we're not going to get him the football. But I also think that Martavis Bryant has to work harder to get himself open for the ball. For instance, in today's game, third quarter, I believe, Roethlisberger takes a shot down the field. Martavis Bryant has a step on his receiver, on his defender, and never even turns to locate the ball. It was a good, it was a well thrown ball. Would have been catchable. Would have been a big play, maybe even a touchdown. And the ball sails right over his head, and he doesn't even know it. stuff like that that happens, Roethlisberger's going to remember that in his memory, and he's going to think twice about going to him again. So it's a weird situation, but I think Brian has a he has a ways to go to get back in the good graces of his quarterback.
Jeff Hartman behind the steel curtain. Thanks for joining us tonight, buddy.
Hey, thanks for having me.